Sharper than any two-edged sword, yes, that's God's word, but food for our souls. That's what it's got to be. Food for our souls and the food that God wants. Getting ready, being steady, letting go. Remember ready, steady, go? I'm reflecting on that constantly. And because I believe that's a word that God has given us for the church. And so Steve and I will be dipping in and out of that. And others, maybe, who are going to come and preach may also contribute, because it's the same Holy Spirit that is guiding us. And it's wonderful how all these messages at times dovetail together. Okay. And what I'd like us to think about today is what happens when God's people take God at his word. What happens when God's people take God at his word? It's, I suppose, the second message from the book of Joshua. And it's actually way back in March, I had kind of 4 points at the end of the message that I never got to, or additional ones. And yes, I reflected on them, and sometimes God moves you on. 4 to 5 weeks can be a long time in the life of a preacher, because you're waiting upon God for what God, or should be, on what God would have you share. And so I believe God still wants me to be in the book of Joshua. What's the book of Joshua about? It's all about how God fulfilled his promises to the people of Israel. That's what Joshua is all about. And it's about how God led them into the promised land. It's a historical book, but we can actually, it can be a personal book. How God leads us into our promised land. Because each one of us, and us as a church, have a promised land to go into, to possess, to move into. Okay? And of course, for Israel, it involved God doing his part. God's got to do that, all right? And God's part is unique, a part that we cannot do. But alongside that, it also involved God's people, Israel, doing their part, right? And that's always the case with God's people moving forward. There's God's part in it, and then there's man's part in it, the believer's part in it. And that's going to be, and is the case for us at Community Church Blackburn. We've got our part to play. We've got to utterly rely upon God, not try to do what God wants, but not step back and shirk, as it were, our part in the big plan that God has for us. We've got to fulfill the Great Commission. Right? That's what God has called every believer into. We've got to grow in discipleship. We've got to grow as disciples, followers of Jesus. And so also we've got the reaching out part of the Great Commission. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel in a relevant way. And make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. That's our commission. That's our commission. And the baton has been handed over to you. So put your hands out. Take that baton and take it in. All right? And God wants us to put our hands, again, it's a phrase that Jesus used, and it's used in the Old Testament as well. Put your hands on the plough. And no one who puts their hands on the plow looks back. That's what Jesus said in one of his stories. Now, in the first book, the first message from Joshua, believe it or not, it was way back in March. And then we went through the wonderful time of Easter, and it's great to get resurrection messages. All right. And Christmas messages at Christmas. Why can't we have resurrection messages in October? I don't know. Or Christmas messages in June. Okay. But it's great to hear about the incarnation, God coming as a man at Christmas, and the resurrection at Easter, and so on. But that was way back at the beginning of March. And we looked at what God said initially to Joshua. And then Joshua shared with his officers. We'll look at those a bit later. And then with the people of Israel themselves and how they should go about doing it. Where does Joshua chapter 1 begin? Any ideas? I think you can have a quick look if you like. Where does it begin? First funeral. It was after the death of Moses. After the death of Moses. That's where it begins. Moses passes away. And Moses' leadership mantle of authority and leadership is actually put on Joshua. It was promised to Joshua from Moses. And this was followed by the personal commission given to Joshua to go in and possess the land, the promised land. All right. And then he went on to share with the rest. Last time, we actually looked at three mistakes the people of Israel did in this venture of faith, and them actually going about fulfilling God's will. The first one was about the past, the second was about the present, and the third was about the future. The first one was all about the past. They idolized the past, particularly what God did through Moses and the role of Moses. They put too much faith in Moses, not enough faith in God. That was the first mistake. The second was the present. What were they doing at the time? They compromised in their present, in what they, in how they were living out. How? By disobeying God. That was current for Israel. They were disobeying God. They were rebelling against God. They were rebelling even against Moses, God's servant. And as a result, what happened? This is a good warning for not disobeying God. They wandered 40 years in the desert because they disobeyed God. That was the reason. He let them wander around. He guided Moses and Moses took them round. But for 40 years, they did that. People in disobedience do that. They wander. Not they can wander up here, but they can wander physically as well. And then the third thing, it was about they kind of lived in the past, in the present, but the future, they were disillusioned about their future. They were unwilling to take risks, right? And as many a believer does, what they wanted to do was, if I could do it in midair, it would be a bit like this. You know, not try and take off on a wall, okay? That was an impression of treading water. But, you know, you can't really do that with your legs, all right? But many a Christian tries to do that. I'm just treading water. I'm standing still. All right? God doesn't want us to stand still spiritually. All right? God doesn't want us to do that. He wants us to do what? Move forward. Not move back. To move forward. So are you moving forward? Are we as a church moving forward? Am I moving forward? So there's movement.
Okay?
Praise God. Praise God. Why? Because God doesn't and wouldn't leave them there treading water. He doesn't sort of look down from him. Yeah, they're treading water. Yeah, I'll just let them do that. No, God doesn't do that. He steps in. And that's what he did for Israel. Why? Because he got plans for Israel. And his plans are going to be fulfilled. And don't ever forget that. God's got a plan for your life and mine. There's a general plan of salvation, knowing God. But then there's a very, very unique plan. No two plans are alike. You bless me. If I could walk along and open your minds and have a look in that all that you have experienced over the years that you have been a Christian, some of the testimonies, some of the agonizing that Marina shared, some of the hanging on that Shiji shared, I just feel that God's compassion is upon Steve. This is such a compassionate job. Now I'm going to sit at Steve's feet. I want, because I feel he's got a touch of the compassion of Jesus. He's had a real touch of it. And I want him to input about compassion. Why? Because Jesus had compassion. And compassion is a bit like this unconditional love. They cannot repay him. We cannot repay God. That's right, Jacob. You see, he was coming for the altar call. All right. 10 minutes in. Well done, Jacob. All right. Yeah, I can't resist commenting on a child. Right. Wonderful. How did the change come about? For Israel. For Joshua. Well, very, very simply, God spoke to Joshua. All right. God spoke to Joshua. He spoke to him in a new and a fresh way. Well, it came over to Joshua as new and fresh. Don't you find that? You read the Bible and it suddenly comes over in a new and a fresh way. I think in some ways, not the Bible bit, but Joshua had been hearing this. I mean, he'd been there, he'd been one of those spies that had gone into the promised land. Don't you remember? Back 40 years before, Joshua, Caleb, he was one who went in. And yet he'd lived with that for 40 years. And God brought it in a new and a fresh way. We need God to do that. God's Spirit can do that. What he lays upon your heart many, many years ago, he can just bring it to life again. You see, Israel's love for God had wavered over the years. But God's love for Israel hadn't changed at all. And I love that about God. And it was when Israel was at the lowest ebb in their lives, at the lowest point, in spite of their disobedience, if you think about it, in spite of their rebellion of the past, in spite of all their mistakes, God stepped in. Just think of your life. In the midst of all that, God wants to step in. Step right in and intervene. And I just believe that's a measure of God's love and grace to us. Because humanly speaking, we wouldn't want to know, would we? Oh, you let me down how many times? But no, God doesn't say that. That's God's grace. How does it work? How does it come about? Well, I think this pivotal point for Joshua and Israel came about when God spoke. When the Lord spoke. In verse 1, that's what it says. The Lord spoke to Israel. Was it a voice? We don't know. Was it in his heart? We don't like that. Was it in his heart? was it from circumstances, but God spoke. I'm so glad he doesn't say how. Because we'd all want that. We'd all want that. I want to what Joshua got. I want the message as Joshua got it. And God chose and spoke to Joshua quite uniquely. And what did that word do? It stirred him up. It stirred Joshua up. And he believed it. And he responded to it. To the promises and to the direction. Now, what do I want to preach about today? Share with you. What happens when God speaks and his people respond? I think that's relevant for 2016, don't you? When we hear God's voice, when we respond, what kind of response happens? Some might say should happen. I've realised the 4 points that I've got are not exhaustive. Listening to just a few people testifying. But I took them out of the text, okay? The first thing that happens when God speaks is this. Leadership emerges. Now, immediately, we begin to think, oh, Joshua. Yes, it included Joshua. The day Joshua became a leader was the day the Lord spoke to him. That's when he became the leader. He was handpicked by God and Moses. Moses passed on what God had already chosen. He was handpicked by God. And we have a recorded dialogue, conversation between Joshua and God in the scriptures. The first time. That's all part of his calling. You see, up to this point, who'd led Israel? Moses, right? And all the leadership was piped through Moses. And that was right. And all the miracles and all the things that God did when God moved, who was his instrument? Moses. Red Sea. Moses. Okay? So God used that individual. And really, if you look very... It's wonderful, that noise, because that's our kids enjoying themselves. All right? I hope they aren't sorting out the teachers. But let's leave that to God. Okay? One will shout, it might be the teacher or the child, but don't worry about that, all right? Joshua lived in the shadow of Moses, right? And Moses was a great leader. And Joshua wasn't a leader in the eyes of the people until Moses passed on. Now, what qualified Joshua? He had God's call. And God's call. God spoke to Joshua. God spoke to Joshua. And God can speak to us. Now, this is actually, if you look very carefully in the scriptures, this is a pattern that you see in the scriptures. To mention three, okay? Firstly, New Testament. Saul, who became Paul, was on the road to Damascus. All right? But God, Jesus, spoke to then Saul. And what did he say? What are you doing to me? God, Jesus, I'm equating the same. All right? God spoke to Paul. He became a leader. Do you know what fraction of the New Testament was written by Paul? About one third. God used him, inspired by the Holy Spirit. A third of the New Testament is written by Paul. He was an important man in the history of the scriptures. Then back to the Old Testament. The wailing prophet. Who am I thinking of? Jonah.
Jeremiah,
what a guy. Jeremiah, he emerged as one of the greatest Old Testament prophets in the Bible. God spoke to Jeremiah. And then, just before Jesus comes on the scene, a prophet, a New Testament prophet, who was it? John the Baptist, right. John the Baptist. He became, there's a lovely phrase, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. The spiritual wilderness of Israel at the time. John the Baptist spoke into it. And what did he say? Prepare the way of the Lord. That's what he said. And then people came to him and he baptized them. And then Jesus came and wham. So in other words, when God speaks, leadership is set in motion. It's been set in motion here as well. All right. People have been stirred up. Lots of people have been stirred up. Now, you say leaders, in their ministry, what they're doing, what you're doing, when God speaks, you get stirred up in it. You don't just sit back. You don't just leave it to others. You get stirred up. And that's what happens when God speaks. Okay? I want you to consider this, that leadership is one of the great indicators that God is at work and moving. Right? I believe God's doing something in this church. Sat in the worship this morning, I think this looked like this roof was going to lift. There was such joy. It was different from singing. It was worship of God. People were being stirred, but it was a sometimes self-perpetuating thing that we were getting stirred by God. And I think it's one sure way to know that God's moving amongst us. He raises people up. And that's what God is doing in this church. And as a leader in this church, you know what God said to me? Make space for it, Andy. Don't cramp people. If I'm raising them up, don't get in the way. Don't get in the way. Be a catalyst. Be a catalyst. Encourage it. Because that's God's way. All right? So I've over the last 3, 4, 5 months or so, I've seen people stepping forward. Now, if I wanted to control stuff, you just do that. But you shouldn't do that. Because if God's doing something, Andy, you get in the way. And so you think, wow, God, you're laying these things. I think, thank you, Michelle, for your text this week. Michelle found what she thought was a possible building. Yeah, when we said, if you find any buildings that might be suitable. Well, Michelle, I think this is the second time, Michelle. Yes, wow, you don't give up, do you? Right. Okay. And it was, I've seen this building. And I'm on holiday on the Wirral. And I said, let Steve know. But, you mean, see the stirring up that God does? All right? And that's what God wants to do amongst us as his people. So when God speaks, leaders emerge. I think, actually, emerging leadership is an indicator of healthy spiritual life. If it's not happening, I've got a question mark. But praise God, I'm seeing it happen. Second thing. So first thing, leadership is emerging. The second thing is devotion to God is happening. And it's being encouraged. Christiana's not here now. Not here now. That sounds awful. It sounds, okay, where's she gone? She's on holiday. She's been raptured. I hope not. Because that means we're left behind. Okay. So take that off the table. We're all here. That's right. Sue still made her way here. An indication. Yes. Devotion to God is encouraged. I'm just thinking, why do you mention Christiani? You remember the Bible? Well, the Bible. What? What book? Yeah. I think it was Christiana that was encouraging us from... has anyone got that Bible? It's got a very unique cover to it. Yeah. Has anyone got to wave it? Right. Okay. And this is what God says in verse 8. I realise I've not read Joshua chapter 1 verses 1 to 11. Okay. So that's where I'm coming from here. In verse 8, this is what God says. All right. Don't let this book of the law, it means a scroll, because they didn't have books in those days, right? Don't let this scroll of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate upon it day and night. Devotion to God is encouraged, right? And then later, the Lord speaks through Joshua. He encourages the people of Israel to dust off their opportunities to read the law. And he encourages them to get stuck into it. Now, isn't that what's happened? Through Christiana and others, get stuck in to reading this Bible. And it says, work at it, study it day and night. So encouragement increased with the people of God. And that's, like I said, that's what's happening here. So that's why I'm saying, it's very similar, isn't it? We're being stirred up. Leaders are emerging. The second thing, we're being encouraged, and we are looking into God's word. I thought, I wonder whether folks have come up with Bible promises today. I am so encouraged. There are 5 promises up here. Yeah. So people go, What I would suggest you do, I'm not going to ask, but I think it's going to be some time. We're going to say to people, now whose is that one? Whose is that one? Whose is that one? And so on. All right. God's promises stuck out to those people. One thing, I actually went and cheated. You know what I did? I saw 2 people put them up. And I looked on the back of the others, no name on. As I would say as an ex-teacher, put your names on your work. All right, because I don't know your handwriting yet. Promise boards, okay. Actually, can I just say, Sue came up with some great ideas how to design our boards to make them look like a book, like the Bible, and so that we can just dip and stick our promises on. Have a look at them, okay, and be encouraged. Okay. So can I hold it up? Right. Like a book? Bible promises. Can you read that? Jeff, you can, by gum, he's got good vision. And or promises. You can't read that. Hang on to that. So Sue's going to sort that out. And let me just, there we go. Here we are. Bible promises. Okay, no space after the E. But then you'll break it up. All right. We need spaces, actually. It's very difficult. If you don't believe me, just write a sentence out with no spaces, then try and read it. Okay? There we go. There's a rubbish thing. There we go.
When you do the lectures separately, you can space out.
That's right. So what do we need to give space and opportunity for us here just to hear how God's speaking through people. And there's Old Testament and there's New Testament up there. Okay? God's waking us up. God's stirring us up. God's reviving us. God's moving us. God's doing the watering, as it says in the New Testament. Okay? Because there's so much more to come. I long, and I've always longed to see a renewal of devotion within the people of God for God and His Word. It can't just be God's Word, because God's Word points to Him. And so really our devotion, it's a renewal, a reviving, a stirring up of our relationship with God. Now I came across some figures that was a bit depressing. I thought I'd had a bit of depression in here today. And this statement said, we tend to forget 95% of what we hear in about, how long do you think? 24 hours? Any advance on 24? We shouldn't be enjoying this. Okay. They actually said in 72 hours, you and I can actually lose approximately 95% if we just read it. All right? And that's why God says, I don't want you just to read it or hear it. What does it say in this verse, in verse 8? I want you to meditate on it, chew on it, think about it, day and night, when you're on your bed, when you're not on your bed, think about it. That's what it says, the psalmist says. Why? So you don't forget it as quick. Okay? Now, we're less likely to forget it if we do that. Now, are you a skipper and a dipper? Do you know, with respect to the Bible? Hands up, skippers. Dippers. All right? It describes our attitude to reading the Bible. It was Marina's face. There was a picture then. Is it skipping, dipping? All right. A skipper is a person who skips parts of the Bible. Hands up those who have read all the genealogies. Look, skippers. Okay. Very interesting. The lady who hid the two spies is in the genealogy. Rahab, she's in there, right? Ah. So some people are skippers. It's a bit boring, this. I'll skip it. I mean, what's the book of Leviticus, mildew to do with, you know? And then there are the dippers. What do you think dippers do? They dip in and out. Yes. What should we read today? Well, I've no idea. Here, that's a dipper. All right. I think we need to read God's word systematically and consistently. Two different things. All right. In order to understand it and meditate on it in order for us not to forget. When God speaks, what's the first thing that happens? See? Doesn't even need 3 days. Leadership emerges.
We knew that.
And what's the second thing? Devotion to God is encouraged when God speaks. Yeah, right? Weakest ink is better than strongest memory. Chinese proverb. Okay? The third thing is this. Strength is and was offered to Joshua and Joshua received it. You got it. Both have got to happen. Right? Strength is, was offered to Joshua and he received it. The word of God has power. We're singing a lot about the name of Jesus and also about the power today. Three times in this passage, the phrase strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be very strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Three times God said that to Joshua. But he didn't just say, you're going to be strong. I love this in Joshua chapter 1. In verse 5, what does it say? It doesn't just say you're going to be strong. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. You're going to be invincible. All right? Nobody's going to be able to stand up against you. That's just not being strong. That's being invincible. Have you ever thought of you and I being invincible for God? Because of God. I'm going to make you invincible. And we need that in our Christian lives. And we need it to go ahead and to plow through discouragement. We need that. Now, what were they facing? Two things they were facing to go into the promised land. What was it?
Jordan.
The Jordan. Was the River Jordan normally a very difficult river to cross? No, it wasn't. It just so happened at that time, it was. The high waters. Okay? So the first thing was, very obviously, the Red Sea. But then, in chapter 2, or should I say, stepping back 40 years, the spies, the other 10, along with Joshua and Caleb, went into the promised land. And what did they say? Giants of the land. Okay? So they had those two things that they had to face. The River Jordan and the land is filled with giants. They were up against impossible odds. Are we up against any impossible odds? That's the verse. I've written down here, with God, nothing is impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. And so, if you let God, God, be God in your situation, nothingness will not happen. You got that? Have you ever thought of it like that? You see, a lot of people interpret it by saying, and it is right, with God, nothing's impossible. God can perform the impossible. But if you turn it round, if God, you know, nothing, to do nothing is impossible for God. He doesn't stand back. With me, God says, nothing. I can't just do nothing. So it will work. All right? And so when God spoke through Joshua, it challenged an entire generation now. And it fostered this new attitude amongst Israel. Probably about a million of them. As they were going into the promised land. All right? And then Joshua orders the army soldiers to go through the camp with instructions for the people. And then it's very interesting because the people are moving on here. And it's very interesting in verse 16, This is how the people answer Joshua. Whatever you have commanded us to do, we will do. Wherever you send us, we will go. Action is the fourth thing. Action happens. When God speaks, action happens. Leaders emerge. Pardon? Devotion to God, good. Third, strength. Strength is received. Okay? And the fourth thing is, when God speaks, we get results. Because of who God is. We get results. And that's what was happening. These were, you know, we talk of fellowship. When you look at the people of Israel here, I kind of came up, I thought, with another word. Followership. Willing to follow the man that God raised up. That's Joshua. They committed themselves to the task. They were willing to rise to the challenge. Now, how did the people change then? They were stuck. The other side of the river, the east side of the river. And they became unstuck. And they were going to move in to the west side. All right? They went from feeling hopeless to feeling courageous and hopeful. Where were they in their spiritual life with God? Well, they'd come from a low place. They were going to a high place. As they responded. All right? That's what happened when God spoke. And the people responded. God can speak. And God's people don't respond. But when God speaks and people respond, these things happen, as demonstrated in the book of Joshua. So where are you this morning? Are you an emerging leader of a ministry? Do you want to be? Have you got, I got something cooking in the back? That's great. God's speaking. God's stirring you up. I wouldn't expect anything less. All right. The second thing, devoting, becoming more devoted to God. I want to get alone with God. I want to seek God. I want to put it into action in my life. We want to be doers of the word. There's devotion rising. And that's rising in the church. Praise God for it. Folks, often that is not natural. It is a supernatural thing brought about by God. And then strength. Be strong and courageous in what you're doing for God and where you are with God and your life now in God. God says, here's some strength. Thank you. Receive it. That's what we've got to do. And then actions follow when God speaks. That's what happens. So where are you this morning? Is that happening for you? Do you want that to happen for you? When God speaks, what should we do? Respond. These things happen. All right? And so I'm really encouraged with God's church here. I'm really encouraged that people are, their devotion is growing. They're responding. They're getting stronger. And God's got more for us. Let's pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, we do thank you that your word has such a lot of truth in it. It's full of truth. And we just thank you, Lord, for this story about the people of Israel. What was going on in their hearts and in their lives? What you brought about, what you spoke about, and how they responded. And Lord, today, you speak. And these same things and other things will be indicators to us that you're on the move, that you're stirring. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us will have open hearts and will be listening to what you're saying to us as a church, but Lord, also to what you're saying to us as individuals. There's a collective, but there's also an individual. And oh Lord, how I pray for the gift of faith for us to take risks for you. To be able to plow through the obstacles because we're invincible spiritually with you. Lord, we commit the way ahead to you in a mighty way. And we pray, Lord, that you will keep us ever listening to what you're saying. And I pray, Lord, that your word will just come alive to us. Highlight it, Lord. That the truths will become crystal clear. And that we will just take hold of them in a mighty way. Lord, we want your kingdom to come. We want your purposes to come. We want expectancy in our faith, dependence upon you in our walk with you, and just a mind that's open wide to the things that you can do. We praise you today for your greatness and for your goodness. In your wonderful name, amen.